This is Intelligence Aboriginal Radio, Angry Indian Radio for the fourth world.
Internet Radio for Smart Aboriginal.
Heavyweight boxing champion match his fists against the lethal masters of the martial arts. Bamboo gods and iron men. From Harlem to Hong Kong and across the China Sea, they fear the name, the fame, and the fury of Black Cal Jefferson, the champ. He matched a left hook and a right cross against the skills of the Kung Fu killers. And hit them right where they live, in the land of bamboo gods and iron men, where the naked fist is deadlier than a bullet. Black Cal Jefferson, he carved a path of vengeance and violence across the land of bamboo gods and iron men. From American International, rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
Find us on the web, ang-newswire.blogspot.com.
I can't, I'm not, certainly not intelligent enough to understand something as perverse as this. The Palestinians have betrayed their own people. This was a moment when finally the international community endorsed the allegations of war crimes, and it would have been an opportunity to vindicate the struggle of the Palestinian people for their rights under international law. And for the Palestinians, representatives in the UN themselves to seem to undermine this report is an astonishing development.
Angry Indian Radio. You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Stand up and fight for indigenous rights.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
This is Indian land! You guys have no jurisdiction here.
You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Real talk for the fourth world.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me Negro, that's nothing. What were you before the white man named you a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have? What was yours? And how did he take it? What gun did you see? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb as you are right now?
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
All Indians, all over the land, all saying the same thing. This is our homeland. This is our birthright. They don't want any white man comes in here and tell us that you have to divide this up this way or that way. The white man doesn't own this land. Just because he has a gun, he said, I took your land.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Transmitting from within the occupied Aboriginal territories of North America to the people of the Fourth World and all ships at sea. This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Internet Radio for Smart Aboriginal.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
of Palestinians. By what right would somebody who was born in Russia as a Jew all his life have greater claim in the land that belongs to a Palestinian who is driven away, and now the peace process, so-called, does not allow him to return to the land of his ancestors or to recover his property? What kind of justice and what kind of international law? And why should international law be interpreted and applied in such unfair and partial way?
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Transmitting to the people of the fourth world from within occupied North America, this is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Salutation and peace to all original human beings resident on the physical plane. I'm your host, the Angry Indian, editor-in-chief of the Aboriginal Press News Service, blogging to the fourth world from aboriginalpressnews.tumblr.com and aboriginalpress.wordpress.com and ang-newswire.blogspot.com. Thank you for tuning in to Indigenous News, thought and analyses concerning the issues that matter to original peoples all over the world and other communities across the planet living under imperial, theological, racist, neoclassist, neocolonialist, neoliberal, neo-fascist, and neo-misogynist control. I wish to welcome you all to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Welcome along. I wish peace to the gods and earths and love and solidarity to the entire original family in this time of strife and struggle. There's a couple of things I need to clear up here. We did a flash news intelligence brief when the first Israel, Gaza, and that's probably not fair to say, even though that's the way it's being reported, because the West Bank is involved in this too. Nobody takes Abbas seriously. Nobody should take Abbas seriously. He's playing his role. And, especially when you take into account that they're reinvestigating the death of Yasser Arafat, the late leader of the Palestinian Liberation Organization. And you have to say to yourself, whether you're Palestinian or not, at least Yasser, you understood where he was coming from, right? You hear PLO, Yasser. Yes, there was violence, but at least Yasser could articulate. Oh, okay, we can talk about how bad he was. We can talk about how corrupt he was. Yeah, we can talk about all of these things. But the bottom line is, he tried to reach deals. He tried to make deals from the beginning. But he tried to make deals, and I have to say this as an outsider, that benefited, or at least was set to benefit, Palestinian people. And I can't remember what year that was that he pretty much gave up everything. When I mean he gave up everything, I'm saying exactly what I mean by that. He gave up literally everything. I mean, there were Catholic Palestinians I knew who couldn't believe that he was willing to give up so much. And I can't remember if it was Oslo, if it was Taba, Camp David, whatever meeting he had, he gave up so much. And, this is somebody who was actually working for some kind of a resolution. I'm not going to sit here and say he was working for peace, because nobody around the world seems to be working for goddamn peace. China here, now we can talk about Tibet all day long. We should be talking about what they're doing in Africa all day long. We should be talking about how Eric Prince, late of Blackwater, Academi or Z or whatever the hell, look through the Bible like with pillar of cloud. Look in the Bible to see where all of this nonsense is coming from. Now, this hardcore Christian ex-SEAL, evangelical Christian at that, is living in Dubai. The last I heard, the dictatorship in Dubai is not a democracy. Now, does that mean I'm not going to be heard in Dubai? Probably, but then I'm not being listened to there anyway, right? Because, everybody there is about money, about glamour, about doing the Robin Leach thing. So they wouldn't want to hear anything I have to say. Whether the kingdom, if you want to call it that, because I can't remember. When was the last time there was an election in Dubai? Yeah, that's what I thought. When's the last time there was an election in Saudi Arabia? Mm-hmm. Bahrain. Mm-hmm. And the way things are going with Morsi, there probably won't be any elections ever more. there in that part of Africa either. You know, it just seems that way, doesn't it? It just seems that way. And, you know, Daryl Issa, the Republican, has an intelligence leak. Well, nobody's talking about that. Bradley Manning, well, he's the worst thing ever because he exposed a war crime. Julian Assange, well, I mean, you know, what's to say about Julian Assange? He hasn't been formally charged in Sweden. And if you do the background work and find out who was actually involved in this, I think you'd have some questions, especially when you take a look at what the hell is going on in the Murdoch camp. I think if you're a reasonable person, the hell with partisanship. If you're a reasonable person, you have to look at this and say, why? Why is this happening the way it is? How many other cases in terms of international justice do you see are not being treated the way this is? When have you ever heard about a red notice being released in the EU for somebody that's not actually being charged anywhere but officially wanted for questioning? Questioning that could have been done in the Australian embassy, in the British embassy, the Ecuadorian embassy now, right? And isn't it funny how Australia has not backed their own people? They seem to be supporting the rights of Kim.com more so than Julian Assange. And Kim.com, I mean, I'm not into piracy or what have you, but, you know, if that was what was going on, I mean, compare that to what the hell WikiLeaks was doing. It doesn't make any sense, does it? I mean, there's a lot of things I'm seeing that don't make any sense. And like I said, this is coming from me now. You know, I'm not speaking for the Aboriginal News Group or even the Aboriginal Press News Service per se. I'm talking about me, you know. I have a problem with the fact that, you know, you have so many black women that are so pro-Obama and so pro this assimilationist moment in history because of this re-election. And they're not realizing that 8 hours after that, there was another drone attack, in which, you know, people of color were you know, who have no say in this matter, don't have internet, don't have newspapers, probably cannot read at all, are totally illiterate in their language or in any other language, and have no idea what the hell is going on. And some pimple-faced geek sitting somewhere in the United States, you know, sucking on a Big Mac and some fries, you know, ended their existence, and, you know, they don't know why, and we're not asking questions in the black community in the United States on why that is. We're not asking questions in the Native community about this. The Philippine community is playing it safe. You know, immigration is an issue, so they're going to go wherever, be it Democrat, be it Republican. They'll vote for Ron Paul if he tells them that he'll give them an open door policy. And Ron Paul in Political.com today actually made the comment that secession is an American ideal or American right or what have you. Ron Paul. Now, you know, anybody who listens to this show has been listening for some time knows that I am not a supporter of Ron Paul. I know that Ron Paul pals around with Nazis. I'm of the opinion that Ron Paul is a covert Nazi. And, you know, that pretty much solidified my opinion on that, for him to make such a statement with all of the mayhem and the uncertainty and the anger and the frustrations that white people just like him across the world. I mean, you know, this is, again, you know, the Ron Paul newsletter. The Ron Paul newsletter. Now, we're going to append the link to a few things that I've worked on with Ron Paul. And his, you know, his supporters come out of the woodwork. Oh, this isn't true. Why are you picking on him? Why are you coming after him? Because Ron Paul is not wrapped too tight. He isn't. If you read the Ron Paul newsletter, I mean, some of the most bizarre theories. And besides, anybody that takes Ayn Rand seriously is a hypocrite and a fool. Ayn Rand herself lived off welfare. My goddamn tax dime. Because I was working. I was paying my goddamn taxes. And whether I was working or not, every time I have to buy something, I have to pay the tax. However I get the money. You dig what I'm saying? I was supporting her handouts. But at the same time, as far as she was concerned, Africans don't deserve anything. Native Americans don't deserve anything because we're supposed to rise up to the ideal the white people have set. Well, let me be correct. The Western white man has set, because the Eastern European doesn't figure in this. I mean, Russia is only a part of Europe when they like them. You dig what I'm saying? Because, you know, most of the time it's Asia, right? You know, they just, you know, conveniently skip all of these other nations and, you know, skip over Turkey and what have you, and decide that, okay, well, you know, this is Europe. You know, where's Europe's eastern border? Where's Europe's western border, for that matter? You know, Europeans themselves argue amongst this. Isn't this what this happened in Spain recently? You know, Catalonia wants to, you know, just totally leave off. You know, it was, and you can't blame them. I mean, 50%, more than 50% of the taxes that they're paying do not return to the Catalonian state. Catalonia is actually doing pretty well. The Basque country is suffering from hardships, but because Spain is. Well, you got to get into the whole callous thing and the mentality around that. But, you know, and I don't get it because I'm not from Spain. And let's just say it was really nasty in the 30s. Can we say that? Can we say that it was really nasty in the 30s? And can we say that the Western capitalists watched the Italian and the German fascists come in and test their stuff out? You know, to, what was it? The Condor Legion from Germany. To, you know, get a test run, to practice it out, let the generals get an idea of how this stuff works. Oh yeah, it sounds like what just happened in Pillar of Cloud, didn't it? Because we all know they're really itching to go after Iran for a bunch of different reasons. And let's just pretend that the Shah got in because he deserved to have that seat. He deserved to be recognized as the leader of Iran, right? Mossadegh, socialism, nationalizing things, spreading the wealth, allowing women to go to school. Well, you can't have that. You know, same thing in Afghanistan. You can't have that. Military government? Yeah, well, you know, never comfortable about that. But it was left wing. It was left wing. How many people, you know, there was communism? Yeah, and it was actually doing quite well for the people that were living there. And they were dealing with the tribalism that is tearing and keeps the place separated. Keeps it weak and keeps the women there living in the 12th century, which you see the Americans haven't done anything about. And I saw a report, it was either the Huffington Post or RawStory.com, quoting the Huffington Post, where there's going to be an execution of homosexual men in Libya. I thought there was democracy in Libya. Isn't that what they told us? Democracy in Libya? Where's the democracy in Libya? We have to return democracy to Libya. Because, Colonel Brother Muammar Gaddafi, you know, he was a democracy. He's part of the war on terror, right? Because he had the same fears that the Western governments did of the religious maniacs. And, he allowed them to come in. You know, they paid a fair price. He sets up water in, you know, parts of Africa, gives fair and equal pay to, don't you love how they put this? Sub-Saharan Africans, as if black people only belong in a certain part of Africa. You know, it doesn't belong to us, but you can get somebody coming out of, I don't know what that part is, that area in New York City, in one of those provinces there, one of those districts, where, you know, they're born and raised over there. But then they can claim, as a settler, as a resident of Tel Aviv or what have you, that they have more of a right to be there than somebody who's born and raised there. So, you know, and whose family has been there for generations, whose family was there before the Ottomans, right? Whose family was probably there when the Romans had kicked out the Hebrews. But we don't want to get into these discussions. And then you have the stupid discussions to come about. And, you know, I'm not embarrassed to say this, but it's not, you know, fun to have to admit that there's a lot of people of color who follow on to this nonsense. But, you know, they're the far right in our own communities. You know, this whole thing about European Jews being Khazars and what have you. Look, maybe some small amount are, but, you know, even so, who gives a goddamn? The bottom line is, if you haven't been anywhere near occupied Palestine for a generation or two, what claim do you have? What claim do you have? You know, I mean, by that same token, the Native American in North America, and I'm not just talking about the United States, I'm talking about Canada and Mexico, has the right to claim everything. And that really puts a spin on the immigration issue as it comes, as it deals with at least Mexicans, right? Because we're talking about North America, not Central and South. If we talk about Mexicans, then you're talking about a real serious discussion right there. And I'm not talking about Aslan. I'm not talking about anything, you know, radical. I'm talking about this hardcore deal with it. This is the facts. How were these lands attained? What is manifest destiny? What was the Monroe Doctrine, you know, when we start talking about the rest of the world? You know, what are we talking about here? And then we look at Pillar of Cloud, and then we look at a caste led, and then we look at the hypocrisy of the United States, especially of the Obama administration. And now this is the Nobel Peace Prize winner. And remember, this is the same cat now, Alfred Nobel, who came up with dynamite, dig. And this is the same award that was given to Henry Kissinger, which, you know, right there means that it doesn't mean anything. You know, but the fact that they gave a peace prize to Barack Obama, you know, before he did anything, was a joke. And the fact that he's been mocking this entire thing in policy is the biggest joke on the civilized world. And what is the civilized world, right? It's supposedly not the fourth world in which I come from, right? It supposedly is that first world that comes out of Western Europe, right? You know, the same first world of which the European Holocaust should never have happened, because Germany was just so goddamn advanced. It should never have happened, right? And then we have Bosnia. Let me be accurate. We have the breakup of Yugoslavia. We had the breakup of another socialist state and complete mayhem. And they did this right in the center of Europe after World War II. And NATO was involved. And nobody seems to find anything strange about that. And I'm not even talking about Gladio. See, these are serious questions here. And we're not talking about this. You know, we're not talking about anything, really. You know, we're just, you know, more worried about who's popular, who's not popular. In the meantime, we're talking about a war on drugs, which is nonsense, because the Mexican police just, you know, unearthed 20 bodies in the in Mexico in the violence torn north, I'm reading here on rawstory.com. So yeah, you know, I mean, it's, you know, what are we really talking about here? I mean, all of that entire drug trade started here. You know, if they weren't funneling in all of these immigrant people into the system instead of just finding them work, or better yet, and I've said this before and I said this again, I refuse to apologize for it, let us let Mexicans fix Mexico for themselves, and you won't have an immigration problem, would you? They're an oil producing nation. They have there's no reason for them to be broke. They have resources up there. You know, I mean they don't need to be broke. If they're broke, it's because somebody's ripping them off. And it's because somebody in their country is handing it off. You know. And, you know, I mean, you know, Black Friday just passed. And what happened? What happened? Complete mayhem. Complete mayhem. You know, this is capitalism. But, you know, who cares, right? Who cares? Who cares? Because these are not real people. These are not real events. You know, this is the same nation. You know, I'm talking about in North America now. I'm talking about nations. But, you know, the same mindset that says that one bullet went through Kennedy, Connolly, and a car and came out unscathed. Stopped in midair, did a spin. No, see, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. I mean, there's more evidence for aliens having visited the Earth and interacted with indigenous people than there is for that. And even then, that evidence is slight. But there's more evidence for that. I can't accept it. I can't accept it because it doesn't make any sense. My Cartesian common sense says it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. Not just to me. It doesn't make any sense to anybody. To anybody. To anybody with a modicum of common sense. A modicum of logic in their brains. It cannot make any sense. You can't talk about freedom and then have a society that does just the opposite. You can't talk about a two-state solution. And then when the people are like, you know, petitioning for this, come up with more and more conditions, more and more conditions, and then tell them flat out you can't have it. So, you know, Abbas, for what it's worth, is going to the UN again, and he's not going to get anywhere again. But, you know, it really doesn't matter, because all of this is a joke. And the joke is going to continue. And, you know, I mean, what can I say? You know, this entire world, the Western system, capitalism itself is a joke. And the only problem is no one's laughing. This is the Angry Indian, and you are listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Please stay tuned for a special dispatch from our UK editor, Selin Kay. Stick around. This is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
Should we stop sending arms to Nigeria? Whether this would have any effect or not, should we stop sending them now?
Yes.
Hugh Fraser.
To my mind, it's a very simple, and the answer is yes. The alternative is, as it's proposed by people like Woodrow Wyatt and an MP in the Times today, is to keep up with the Russians. This is morally absolutely intolerable. It's politically inept. Your policy is losing out. You're making a fool of ourselves throughout the world. The people regarding this country with moral obloquy. It's not this matter, because the policy has failed.
If we don't supply arms to the Nigerian government, the Russians are going to go on doing it. The Russians have told the Nigerian government that whatever happens, they're going to see them through to victory. Well, is it wise that we should allow the whole of this vast area, with 52 million people in it, with more oil in it than Kuwait, to fall into the hands of the Russians? I mean, it's absolutely crazy.
Those who like knowledge, man, like myself, in the name of Allah, man, you find out who's the true and living, man, and you really get the truth. That's how I'm going to put it to you, man. Truth of all things in existence, man. You know what I mean? That's what you want to do. In the name of Allah, and Allah means arm, leg, leg, arm, head, man, forming a physical body. You know what I'm saying? That's what it is, man. So don't get twisted. Don't get scared. Don't get caught up in the 9/11 terrorist bombing shit and all of that, man. Understand? The true and living, man, in the name of Allah. Study your lessons.
You are listening to the Angry Indian Non-Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
450,000 people have died. 10,000 more die each month from ethnic violence. 2 million more people have been displaced from their homes and have become refugees. These are the unbelievable numbers that show how bad Darfur has been since the beginning of this genocide, which started in February 2003. This is an unacceptable atrocity that is currently still going on in Darfur, which is located in the western region of Sudan in Africa. This horrible denial of human rights must be stopped. Darfur may seem too far away for anyone at Rider to get involved with and help, but if you are interested in getting involved, Rider has a group which deals with genocide called Rider Stand, which meets in the Shapiro boardroom at 4:30 every Wednesday. Also, the main Stand website can be found at www.standnow.org. After the Holocaust, the world said never again to genocide. Let's live up to that promise.
I'm gonna stand until I can't stand no more, if I have to stand by myself.
The American people are the last people to wake up.
Prisons are becoming an integral part of the U.S. economy.
People of color organize critical thinking, strategic work, and direct action for social, racial, gender, and economic justice.
A world run by a handful of greedy bankers and CEOs who nobody elected can't possibly last.
People of Color Organize features intersections of race, politics, feminism, movement, class, internationalism, and theory.
This is about the Black Panthers. This is about the American Indian movement. This is about all of us.
Visit us online at peopleofcolororganize.com. Follow us on Twitter at POC Organize and Facebook at facebook.com/peopleofcolororganize. You can also find us on Tumblr at peopleofcolor.tumblr.com.
We're organizing against what we term genocide.
Radio Insurgente, la voz de los sin voz.
Vamos, 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 vamos adelante. Pa
para que salgamos en la lucha avante, porque nuestra patria grita y necesita de todo el esfuerzo de los zapatistas.
Transmitiendo desde algún lugar de las montañas del sureste mexicano, en la frecuencia 100.1 en FM.
Hello, I'm Carol Gordon. Traditionally, Native women made all decisions regarding their reproductive health care. This was respected as women's business. Today, we are basically denied this decision-making power. It's time to take back that power making decisions concerning our reproductive health. There is a choice we can make regarding unwanted pregnancy. Plan B is an emergency contraceptive that must be taken within 72 hours after having unprotected sexual intercourse in order for it to be effective in preventing pregnancy. Contact your local Indian Health Service facility and ask if they carry Plan B. If not, tell them to order it. Plan B is an OTC, over-the-counter contraceptive, and a prescription is not necessary. You have a legal right to access this contraceptive over-the-counter. This message is brought to you by the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center.
Listen to Angry Indian Radio. He is not only for Indians, but he is also for blacks and other minorities. And they have done a lot on the problems in Palestine and also the problems of blacks. And so I recommend that you listen to him.
Fred Leonard. It is mind-blowing for us to be here, now, at this late hour, with Leonard Peltier still in chains. Books have been written, documentaries have been produced, congressmen have joined his freedom campaign, all for naught. For Leonard Peltier, a former leader of the American Indian Movement, AIM, is still not free. That, to anyone with a soul, is a damn shame. Many Peltier supporters put their trust in a politician named Bill Clinton, who told them that when he got elected, he wouldn't forget about the Native American leader. Their trust, like those of so many others, was betrayed once Clinton gained the office and the FBI protested. In the waning days of his presidency, he issued pardons to folks like Mark Rich and other wealthy campaign contributors. Leonard Peltier was left in his chains. I won't restate the obvious. Leonard's innocence, the blatantly unfair trial, the crooked tricks that led to his extradition. Others may do that. What is needed is more support, not from two-faced politicians, but from the people, the many, who, like me and you, know injustice when we see it. Join the movement to free Leonard, Gwath Ilas, or he who leads the people. Build it, for only a mass movement can bring freedom. Thank you. On the move. Long live John Africa. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
I'm Cory Doctorow, and you're listening to a Creative Commons licensed podcast. Some rights reserved.
White society wants you to know that anti-African racial hatred is a thing of the past.
And the Democrats are throwing the election away. For what? An inadequate black male who would not have been running had it not been a white woman that was running for president. I'm no second-class citizen. And goddamn the Democrat.
With white people showing love like this, who needs enemies? Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. The anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.
Now...
This is Radio Gentle.
I'll be talking into your heart, into your head, in just a few moments. All I want you to do I want you to do is just lend me your ear for the time that we will be together.
Who is the original man? The original man is God, the owner of the earth, and knowing every square inch, he has chosen the best part for himself. He did not care about the poor part. Columbus was a half original man who was a prophet who was born in Southeast Europe. His full name is Christopher Columbus, and the place he discovered was North America. He found Indians over here who was exiled 16,000 years ago. They are original people. Holla.
Yes, sir.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Welcome back to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. I'm your host, Angry Indian, sitting in with our engineer, Guadalupe Morales. And this is the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service, broadcasting to the international Aboriginal community from occupied North America. Subscribe to our international podcast using our FeedBurner RSS feed at Fourth World Radio. And we are also carried by a never-winding network of independent information providers, not financially hamstrung by the corporatist news model. For more information on the news items and opinions discussed in this internet radio broadcast, please visit our electronic newspapers at aboriginalpressnews.tumblr.com, aboriginalpress.wordpress.com, and ang-newswire.blogspot.com. You can also leave us a polite voicemail at Aboriginal Media Group via Google Talk. And you can always email our studios at aboriginalradio@lavabit.com. Now, I welcome back my brothers and sisters of the Fourth World, our non-Aboriginal ideological comrades, and the negative element staunchly opposed to human justice and social harmony. But in spite of all that, they take the time to listen to the show on the sly anyway. This is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. We have a special report on Operation Pillar of Cloud. We have no idea what the hell that's supposed to mean over here. And it wasn't until I listened to a podcast with Stefan Lenman. You might have seen his work on, it's all over the net, actually, in terms of the alternative analyses that's going on. As you know, this particular subject of colonialization for the indigenous people of occupied Palestine, 162 Palestinian lives lost, 7 Israelis. It's all bad, but I don't exactly call that balanced. And how exactly did the thing start in the first place? You can't talk about peace process and then have Israel does. They're doing what they're doing, and nobody seems to give a damn. Nobody seems to really care, right? This is a very lopsided thing. But when you understand what Zionism is, as opposed to what being a Jew is, you know, it then starts to make sense. The two are not necessarily the same. We've said that here before. We'll say that again. You know, and Zionism in and of itself, I mean, it feeds into every conspiracy theory about Jews you've ever heard of. You know, but then you have to look at the history of Zionism. Not who founded it, even though that's interesting in and of itself. I mean, Theodor Herzl, you know, was an atheist, didn't identify as a Jew at any time. I mean, he was kind of forced to. He didn't have a choice where he lived in Eastern Europe. So, when the Dreyfus Affair came around, all of a sudden, you know, his previous status as a journalist and so on, playing the neutral side, it didn't work any longer. So he kind of did a Gandhi and became a radical when the racism kicked him in the tuchus. So, he only took it personally when it affected him personally. So, you know, and when he did come around with his system, it was basically trying to integrate Jews, at least Eastern European Jews, you know, Ashkenazim, you know, let's get down to it. They're Sephardim and Mizrahi brothers and sisters were not even part of the equation at this time. I mean, to this day, they still don't really go to the same synagogues. There's a lot of internal things. And if you want a further background on what I'm talking about, You can look for the documentary if you're lucky enough to find it. I used to own a copy. I don't have it any longer. Who Shall Live and Who Shall Die? There are at least two reviews that I believe you can still find on the internet. But if you're actually trying to find a copy of the film, good luck to you. It is a very disturbing film in terms of the controversy that it brings up on this lack of unity within the Jewish community worldwide. And who speaks for world Jew? You know, did the designer speak for everybody? And if so, when? And what is the real history of Zionism? You know, who did Lehi, you know, the Stern Gang? I mean, they were involved in what we now call terrorism. And, you know, when we really look at this, you know, the King David Hotel and what have you, you know, when we really look at this and we go further, we find out that Adolf Eichmann and the Zionists in under the British mandate still occupy Palestine, not occupied by the British who had just pushed out the Ottomans. You know, there are links. They were working with each other. You have a series of documents called the Ankara letters. You know, communication between the Third Reich government and the Zionist movement living under British occupation in Palestine. Something, huh? It's a piece of history. Nobody really wants to talk about it. A director, I can't remember his first name, but his last name is Goldfinger. He just did a film, The Flat, based on his grandmother passing away, and he and his family went in to, you know, deal with her personal effects and finding Nazi literature and finding correspondence between them and Nazi officials in Germany. They had no clue. They had no clue. You know, anytime you're dealing with extremism, if it's Eurocentric extremism, de Gaulle was surely a conservative, surely right, to the right. But was he far right? No. OAS and what have you, that's a totally different, the Pied-Noirs, that's a different case. You know, Algeria, that's a different case. It was a different case. You know, Franco was far right. You have to call this and what have you. You know, all of that, you know, was conservative, right? Conservatism. And if it hadn't been for Italy and Germany, we really don't know how far he would have gone because, you know, depending on who you ask, he was reluctant to even be involved in the initial uprising, you know, the initial coup. Or suppression of the monarchy, you know, however you want to look at it. You know, there's a certain commonality. You know, it's the same thing I've said here on this show many times with the RGB. These are the fascists of the African community. I'm not saying the RGB group, is there such a thing? I'm talking about that, you know, the red, black, and green movement, the ideology. Red, black, and green ideology is at its core conservative. Politically, it is to the far right. And when it comes to ideology, there's nothing any less fascist about that than what we saw, say, in Croatia with the Ustasha during World War II and during the breakup of the Yugoslavian state. That's a fair comparison. That's a fair comparison. You know, this idea that there's some sort of, you know, purity in a pure race where there's no crime, no homosexuality, right? There's no, stupidity, right? You know, it's just perfect, you know, perfect bodies, perfect looking people, you know, absolutely, you know, paradise. If there's just this one pure race, if the race can be pure and have its own cultural thing, can just be pure. How is that any different than what Hitler and Goebbels, Himmler, especially Himmler. you know, Himmler and Hess, Rudolf Hess, were astrologists, and you know Hitler too. You know, they were all with this mystical, you know, black sun theory. You know, the theory of the Vril, right? You know, some of you know what I'm talking about, some of you don't, and it does take too long to go into here for this show, anyway. If you think you can talk about such subjects with any kind of authority, you're welcome to be a guest on this show. Contact us, Aboriginal Radio at lavabit.com. You know, that's something that can be talked about in this relation to history, not the stupid way Mitt Romney brought it up, trying to win points with the neo-Nazis and neo-Confederates in this country. You know, it's just... You know, I mean, he was really playing with all that. Goes to England to make an Anglo-Saxon statement. And everything that I'm saying right now is connected. Because what we see going on in Israel, you know, and I'll go ahead and say, whether I recognize this right to exist or not, I don't. I realized that Henry Kissinger came up with that, and it was just a ploy to, you know, keep statehood out of the UN, out of the international discourse. But, you know, Israel is a political state. You don't have to recognize it. It is. But it's sitting on top of people. You know, I mean, come on, don't tell me that, well, this is the ancestral home. They have a right to take this. And you're standing on Indian land in North America. You know, I mean, really, be serious. It's a double standard. These are Europeans. Who haven't been, you know, like I said, I'm not into the conspiracy theories about, you know, all that. That's, again, and we hear this in the black extremist movement. We hear this in the white extremist movement. If you go in certain parts of Asia, you will find the same nonsense. You know, the Jews are some sort of a devil race. Well, why don't you just sit there with your neo-Nazi brother and sister? Because, you know, you're thinking and seeing things exactly the same way they do. You know, we need to understand what Israel is. It's not a Jewish conspiracy. It's a Zionist conspiracy. There's a difference. And you need to learn the difference. Because when you start talking about, you know, Jews and Zionists as being, you know, equal and interchangeable, well, that's the same thing that we complain about around here about, you know, Palestinian and terrorists. You know, the two are not synonymous. You know, then it's not the same thing. See, that's the media's lies fucking with your brain. If you believe that, because you're too lazy to understand, to, you know, look at the details and see what the hell is really going on down there. You know, to really open that track and say, what the hell is happening right there? Why are they talking about these people like this? I'm saying this because I get tired of really ignorant folks, you know, who know nothing about the situation, don't even know what a Palestinian is. Didn't even know Palestinians exist. They just don't like Jews, so they hate Israel. And it's like, you know, cop on to yourselves. And don't tell me about how black you are. Cop on to yourself. You're making the same argument these neo-Nazis make. And see, and that's part of the fear about Zionism. You know, they figure they might as well join the power structure. That it's better to join the power structure than be against it. This was the whole point of Herzl. Going to all the heads of state in Europe and talking about, we will back you if you allow us to have a piece of land and develop our own independent, you know, political state. They made the deal with England. That was the Uganda project. It didn't work. There were other small projects that they didn't work for various reasons. You know, and the main reason was, you know, Judeophobia existed in the same countries that they were going to ask for these sorts of deals. But these were the imperialists. These were the colonialists, right? So they went to the British who were in Uganda at the time. The problem is that the British who were in Uganda didn't particularly like Jews. So they had a schism. So it didn't work out. You know, they've been always been trying to make deals with the very people that hate them. Now, see, if Herzl had went to what we now know as the Third World, if he had come to the Fourth World, it would have made more sense, because then it would be, I mean, look, you know, outside peoples should band together. And in many cases, you will find Jews and Rom people, otherwise known as the Gypsies and so on, you know, in, especially in Eastern Europe, you know, there was unity in the Russian states, under the Tsar, under the socialist states, you know, there was some kind of unity between these peoples. When you start to move into the West, not so much unity, right? Things start to get racial. You know, after World War II. Long after World War II. But before that, it was very difficult to actually find Jews and Rom people that had problems with each other. They tended to work along with each other because they were both, you know, outsiders. But in the case of Zionism, they chose to go along with the power structure. They chose the easy way out, basically. And they sold themselves to whatever power structure would use them. And this is the case that we see with Israel now. It's the same case we see with Colombia and South America. I mean, do people really think that anyone up here gives a damn about Colombia? Or anybody in that country? No, it's an outpost. It's a client state to control that region, to keep an eye on that region. It is what it is. And Israel serves a purpose. Yes, the British couldn't control the mandate any longer. Well, they couldn't afford to stay there any longer. You know, it's the same thing with Ireland. I mean, not to say that they didn't let it go and they were ready to unleash everything they had left. But Michael Collins got them to the point where they got to the table. Right? By you basically using the same sort of tactics that were used against them, you know. And this is, you know, reportedly, depending on who you speak to, who you listen to, Ariel Sharon, I was getting ready to say, his son is a piece of work, isn't he? Isn't his son a piece of work? And who was it? What was the name of another politician that called for a Holocaust in the Gaza? And now you got a Dutch thinking head suggesting just flat out genocide. You know, and you know, and Palestinian people are just supposed to, you know, not have an opinion. I feel that the world is against them. I mean, are you for real? Hey, brother and sister listening to this, you know, I know you understand that, but the person behind you, you know, and those you deal with, I mean, do they really believe this? That these people don't have feelings? Do they really believe this? They must. They must, you know. And we have to understand, again, Zionism. You know, in a lot of ways, it's a double dose of Judeophobia because, you know, I mean, they will go to the people who hate them the most and make deals. And we have to also understand that there are traitors in every group, and there have been Jews that have served with the Nazis. This is not a big secret. This is not, you know, something that we don't understand. It's just we never put these things into context. And we never put into the context that the Zionist attitude, for the most part, comes from the fact that, you know, the Christian culture of Europe, which started the pogroms, which started Judeophobia in the first place, it was the Catholic Church that said that the Jew should either be forced to convert or forced to be done away with. You know, what happened after the Reconquista? Yeah, we hear about the Muslims, but we don't hear about what happened to the Jews after that, do we? You know, we don't hear about what happened in Cologne, Germany, on their way to the Crusades. You know, this is a history that isn't discussed. It's known in Europe, it's discussed in Europe. But, you know, we don't really talk about that in relation to the psychological factors. Why, instead of saying that, well, this situation will never be fixed, you know, when you say that, what you're basically acquiescing to is the idea that these white people have a right to reclaim territory that they lost from the Roman Empire in 70 AD. They have the right to come back after all these centuries and occupy and totally displace everybody that was in the area, that's actually from the region. That this makes total sense. And at the same time, you know, African people, you know, no one would even listen to the struggle of the African in the Americas, right? No one would listen to the struggle of the African in Africa, for that matter. I mean, when we see black women who have no money at all, but they're going out of their way to straighten their hair in Africa, that's a problem. But see, nobody wants to talk about that. Black folks don't want to talk about it. Right? Because it's progress to try to look as white as possible, to bleach your skin, to bleach your hair, to get a nose job so that your nose points like a pecker. You know, it's like, you know, what's You know, what's going on? You know, I'm not trying to insult anybody, but I mean, you know, what's going on here? You know, we will sit here and argue for the right of Europeans to take over, you know, a region that they have not occupied for centuries. But we can't talk about how African people in Africa are being displaced. We can't discuss that. We can't talk about the missing Native women in Canada. And for that matter, all over North America. That's not even an issue for discussion, right? But we'll talk about the rights of Europeans to take things from other people, from brown people, from people of the fourth world, from indigenous people. We talk about that right, but we don't talk about the right of the Indian to exist. We don't talk about the right of the African to exist, you know. We don't talk about the Palestinian right to exist, do we? You know, we come from a Eurocentric frame of mind all the time. Inclusive of myself. I mean, that's part of the challenge. Don't think that, you know, I'm sitting here on a high horse that, you know, I got my act together. I don't, man. You know, I'm in this struggle just like you to get my head straight, you know, to understand who I am and why, you know, I see things, you know, the way I do. And, you know, it just goes back to, you know, everything I've seen in media, you know, pretty much, and what you're told in school, you know, that you're nothing. You know, you'll have a realistic family like on the sitcom Good Times, but they have to have the clown. They got to have the buffoon. There's got to be the Sambo in there somewhere. You know? And we go for this because we think this is the best that we can do. This is all we can do. And we point to those Negroes on the hill that, you know, they got the diamonds and they got the cars and they got the nice house and you got nothing and you think that somehow you're equal. See, it's that type of thinking that allows the Palestinian situation to go on. And seeing because we are, as an international community, allowing the human rights situation, the genocidal situation, the colonialist situation that is going on in occupied Palestine, it allows stop and frisk in the United States. You dig what I'm saying? It allows for missing indigenous women in North America. You hear me? It allows for more than, you know, I mean, how many people died in factory fires in Asia just this week? You have some people, disabled workers in Germany, yeah, the same thing. And you know, Walmart is going on. And you know, I mean, hey, are you proud of this? Is this what you want to be a part of? You want to be a part of this, this mind game that they got running on us, that, you know, the abusers have all the rights and the victims don't deserve anything? They don't deserve compassion. They don't deserve justice. They don't deserve to eat. They don't deserve to survive. But basically, our entire, you know, being on earth is just to serve those that are supposed to be better than us. And we accept this. And, you know, it doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense to me, and frankly, it shouldn't make any sense to you either. So, having said all that, this is our UK editor, Selin Kay, and she just returned from Palestine a little before all this went down, and these were her thoughts. And I want you to go check out her work at riseresistandrevolt.wordpress.com. Okay, this is our UK editor, Selin Kay, speaking from London on her breakdown of what she sees going on under Operation Pillar of Cloud. This is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
This is APNS Public Radio.
The opinions expressed in dispatches represent the analysis of the participating editors and may not necessarily reflect the group positions of the ANG or its public news wires.
Today is the 16th of November, which marks the 7th day of Israeli aggression against the Gaza Strip. On Thursday, November the 8th, Israeli soldiers were on the border, or rather the wall, buffer zone of Gaza, and they killed a 12-year-old boy whilst he was playing football. Shortly afterwards, Palestinian fighters blew up a tunnel along the Israel-Gaza frontier, injuring one Israeli soldier. On Saturday, the 10th of November, an anti-tank missile fired by Palestinian fighters wounded four Israeli soldiers driving in a jeep alongside the Israel-Gaza boundary. Again, Israeli artillery shell landed in a soccer field, killing two children aged 16 and 17. And then again, they fired at a tent where mourners were gathered for a funeral, killing two more civilians and wounding a dozen others. The current casualty, as of now, is 20 Palestinians dead, with over 200 wounded on the Gaza side and three Israelis dead on the Israeli side. One of the most significant events of this 7-day military campaign was the truce broken by Israel, which assassinated Ahmed Jabari, the head of Hamas's military wing, and also eight other Palestinians were also killed, including two children. We need to understand here that Ahmed Jabari was actually a key contact for Israel regarding negotiations of truce and even the prisoner exchange of Gilad Shalit. Now, the current bombardment of Gaza is not about the handmade rockets that's been fired by Palestinian fighters into Israel. This is about a state founded on Zionism. This is about a state maintained through apartheid laws. This is about a state created through British imperialism. This is about a state who has the only UN resolution revoked in the history of the UN, which determines Zionism as a racist ideology. This is a state which has invaded all its neighbouring countries. This is a state that has no borders. It continuously eats away the Palestinian lands through Israeli settlements, legal Israeli settlements, through the construction of the wall. And what we need to understand about Gaza is that Palestinians in Gaza, two out of three Palestinians in Gaza, are 48 refugees. They're not 67 Six-Day War refugees, but 1948 refugees who fled to the Strip after the ethnic cleansing of Palestine by Zionist terrorist groups within that year. We also need to understand the fact that there's a constant whitewash of the facts. They're calling this a war between Gaza and Israel. This is not a war. A war needs substantial defence. Gaza does not have an army. Gaza does not have tanks. To call it a war between Israel and Gaza equates Gaza to have the same military might that Israel has as a state, when Israel is actually the fourth most powerful army in the world, which effectively kills any argument regarding it being a war. It is not a war. This is not the case. It never has been. It is an open-air prison. It is one of the most crowded places on earth, with 1.7 million people in a 140-kilometer squared area. They are under a blockade of 5 years. They are under siege. They receive 8 hours of electricity per day. They have close to no medication to treat the wounded because of this blockade, because of these bombardments, and yet they continue to whitewash. They continue to make Palestinians look hostile, savage, violence-seeking, barbarians, because that's the general rhetoric used by Westerners and the European discourse to justify the colonization of a land by another group. This is a standard rhetoric, and we must not fall for this. The Israeli force spokeswoman Avital Levovitch continuously said that only terrorist sites were targeted in Gaza. Now, let me ask you whether that 12-year-old boy who was playing football by the buffer zone, a terrorist site? Was a Palestinian woman pregnant with twins a terrorist site? Was the 11th-month baby a terrorist site? Was a 16- and 17-year-old a terrorist site? Let me ask you whether any of these were terrorist sites. Let me tell you what true terrorism is. True terrorism is Hiroshima. It's Nagasaki. It's Rendition, it's Guantanamo Bay, it's Fallujah, it's Gaza, it's CIA coups, it's neocolonialism, it's Abu Ghraib. These are the true acts of terrorism. Now, of course, we don't expect UN resolutions to occur of condemnations and, you know, no-fly zones, just like there was in Operation Cast Lead of 2008 and 2009. Though what we need to understand is that the 2008 and 2009 massacre, again also known as the Gaza War, a complete misrepresentation of what happened, people still die and suffer from the consequences of that massacre today. The trauma, the shocks, the psychological effects, the buildings that are still not rebuilt. This is an indigenous community which has been abandoned by the international community and even its neighbouring states, the Arab states, to their own fate. They have every right to resist, and they will continue to resist. Victory to the Intifada, victory to the resistance. And we, as the international community, the grassroots, we must show solidarity to our brothers and sisters in Palestine. We must highlight the apartheid state of Israel. We must highlight the racist state of Israel. We must highlight the terrorist state of Israel.
Internet radio for smarter originals.
Sir Gerald Crawford.
Madam Deputy Speaker, I was brought up as an Orthodox Jew and a Zionist. On a shelf in our kitchen was a tin box of the Jewish National Fund, into which we put coins to help the pioneers building a Jewish presence in Palestine. I first went to Israel in 1961, and I've been there since more times than I can count. I had family in Israel, and I have friends in Israel. One of them fought in the wars of 1956, 1967 and 1973, and was wounded in two of them. The tie-clip which I'm wearing is made from a campaign decoration awarded to him, which he presented to me. I've known most of the prime ministers of Israel, starting with the founding prime minister, David Ben-Gurion. Golda Meir was my friend. So was Yigal Alon, the Deputy Prime Minister, who as a general won the Negev for Israel in the 1948 War of Independence. My parents came to Britain as refugees from Poland. Most of their families were subsequently murdered by the Nazis in the Holocaust. My grandmother was ill in bed when the Nazis came to her hometown of Staszów. A German soldier shot her dead in her bed. Madam Deputy Speaker, my grandmother did not die to provide cover for Israeli soldiers murdering Palestinian grandmothers in Gaza. The present Israeli government ruthlessly and cynically exploit the continuing guilt among Gentiles over the slaughter of Jews in the Holocaust as justification for their murder of Palestinians. The implication is that Jewish lives are precious, but the lives of Palestinians do not count. On Sky News a few days ago, the spokeswoman for the Israeli army, Major Leibovich, was asked about the Israeli killing of, at that time, 800 Palestinians. The total is now 1,000. She replied instantly, 500 of them were militants. That was the reply of a Nazi. I suppose the Jews fighting for their lives in the Warsaw Ghetto could have been dismissed as militants. The Israeli Foreign Minister, Tzipi Livni, asserts that her government will have no dealings with Hamas because they're terrorists. Tzipi Livni's father was Eitan Livni, Chief Operations Officer of the terrorist Irgun Svi Leumi, who organized the blowing up of the King David Hotel in Jerusalem, in which 91 victims were killed, including 4 Jews. Israel was born out of Jewish terrorism. Jewish terrorists hanged 2 British sergeants and booby-trapped their corpses. Irgun, together with the terrorist Stern Gang, massacred 254 Palestinians in 1948 in the village of Deir Yassin. Today, the present Israeli government indicate that they will be willing, in circumstances acceptable to them, to negotiate with the Palestinian President Abbas of Fatah. It's too late for that, Madam Deputy Speaker. They could have negotiated with Fatah's previous leader, Yasser Arafat, who was a friend of mine. Instead, they besieged him in a bunker in Ramallah, where I visited him. It's because of the failings of Fatah since Arafat's death that Hamas won the election, the Palestinian election in 2006. Hamas is a deeply nasty organization, but it was democratically elected, and it is the only game in town. The boycotting of Hamas, including by our own government, has been a culpable error from which dreadful consequences have followed. The great Israeli Foreign Minister Abba Eban, with whom I campaigned for peace on many platforms, said, "You make peace by talking to your enemies." However many Palestinians the Israelis murder in Gaza, they cannot solve this existential problem by military means. Whenever and however the fighting ends, there will still be 1.5 million Palestinians in Gaza and 2.5 million more Palestinians in the West Bank, who are treated like dirt by the Israelis, with hundreds of roadblocks and with the ghastly denizens of the illegal Jewish settlements harassing them as well. The time will come, not so long from now, when they will outnumber the Jewish population in Israel. It's time for our government to make clear to the Israeli government that its conduct and policies are unacceptable, and to impose a total arms ban on Israel. It is time for peace, but real peace, not the solution by conquest, which is the Israelis' real goal, but which is impossible for them to achieve. They're not simply war criminals, they're fools.
You lived in Israel in, was it the 50s?
53.
And how old were you at the time?
How old? Well, I was 25, yeah.
Okay.
But I had been an active, what was then called a Zionist youth leader, now it would be called anti-Zionist youth leader, back in the 40s.
Okay, and I think that's very interesting, because for people, Zionism means a Jewish state in Palestine. So when you say you were at the time a Zionist leader, which now would mean an anti-Zionist leader, yeah. I'd like you to sort of broaden this a bit.
Back in the 1940s, before the state was established, one part of the Zionist movement, and not a small part of it, was opposed to a Jewish state. I mean, the little that's remembered about that is the famous men like Martin Buber and Judah Magnus and Hannah Arendt, you know, women, but that was a peripheral elite. A substantial part of the workers' movement in Israel, then Palestine, was anti-state. Actually, that was the official position of Hashem Eretz Yair, which is like almost half the kibbutz movement, and it was probably 20% or so of the Histadrut, the labor movement. And at least according to the Anglo-American Commission, which did studies at the time, they estimated, if I remember correctly, about 25% of the population of the Yishuv was opposed to a Jewish state. So being opposed to a Jewish state was part of the Zionist movement. And there was nothing surprising about being a Zionist youth leader who was strongly opposed to a Jewish state and was in favor of Arab-Jewish working-class cooperation to construct a socialist Palestine.
Okay. So that's is that the frame of mind? Because you went to Israel, Palestine in the 50s once the state of Israel had been established. So is that the frame of mind you went to Israel with?
Once the state of Israel was established, which was actually a day of mourning among me and my friends, I remember it very well. The only rational position to hold was that it should have the rights of any state in the international system, no more, no less. They're all founded on violence and destruction. I mean, take the United States. It's founded on extermination of the indigenous population, many millions of people, conquest of half of Mexico, in order to try to monopolize cotton and all sorts of things. Try to find a state that isn't found. I mean, states are violent systems. Almost all state borders are the result of violence and repression. But there's an international system that we can say, okay, I'm not going to recognize anybody, I'm opposed to everybody. I'm just not going to act in the world. Well, okay, you can live on a mountaintop in Montana and grow your own food if you like. But if you want to function in the world, even as a dissident or as a protester or something, you have to recognize its reality. Part of the reality is there's an international system, which I don't like, but it's there. And Israel, since 48, is part of it.
Okay. So my question about, you recently declared during an interview with Israeli TV that, and I quote now, in fact, I do not regard myself as a critic of Israel, I regard myself as a supporter of Israel. And for people, again, that don't dig further, this could mean I am a supporter of a Jewish state, a colonizing state, and so could you also sort of explain what you meant?
It could mean that to people who pick up tidbits on the internet and don't bother even...
If the United States and Israel had at any time in just the past 40 years, at any time had taken a realistic, honest to God approach to the situation that these two countries have caused in the Middle East, and honestly sat down with the aggrieved party, the Palestinians, the Muslims, the Shia, who have been treated like dirt for the past 75 years, and just once sat down and said, okay, look, we've got the power, we can blow you into a million pieces, but all right, let's make a deal. Let's work things out. But no, that's not what we've done. That's not what we've done. And Israel's actions against the Palestinians is the same as Americans, white European settlers against the Native American people here. We came, they came. We said, God has given us this land. The Israeli settlers said, God has given us this land. And we said to the indigenous people, as the Israelis said to the indigenous people, you have got to move. We set up reservations, they have set up reservations. Same story. Now, what would you do if you were a Native American all those years ago, or a Palestinian all those years ago? What would you do? Would you resist? Or would you say, oh, yes, a master. Take my home. Take my land. Take my water supply. Take my village. It's yours.
Unfortunately, not enough to lose. But the people are in a critical state in Gaza. They are dying. They are dying because they cannot get to hospitals. They are dying because they don't have proper medication. They don't have food. They don't have water. They have soiled water. They have water that is contaminated. All because Zionism is conveying a message and portraying itself to the world as some godly force that is simply being threatened by inhumane people, the Palestinians. We have a secret to reveal to the world. Jews have been living with Palestinian people and with Muslim people throughout the world for hundreds of years with any human rights groups to protect us. We have no problem with these people. We are, in fact, the most closest in the world in our service to the servitude to the one God, in subservience to one God. And we are thankful, and we've been taught to be thankful in our schools for the hospitality and safe haven and friendship that the Muslim people and the Arab people throughout the world has constantly given to the Jewish people throughout the ages. There were no human rights groups, and we didn't have the Inquisition, and we didn't have the Crusades, and we didn't have the Hitler. That came from Christian society, and yet people don't say that the Christians are that we cannot live together. Why are they doing this, vilifying the Muslim people? It's because a simple, base goal of the Zionists, a ploy in order to be able to intimidate, in order to squelch any opposition to their flawed political movement, their rebellion against God, by having the civilized, the so-called civilized world throughout the world believe that the Muslims are people that you cannot live side by side with, and therefore whatever they do to the people in Gaza and in the West Bank of Lebanon is justified. We are here to announce to the world they are simple thieves and they are rogues. They are evil in their actions. They are doing things that is against God. What's called inhumane is by us called against God. Every action that they're taking, the whole concept of taking over Palestine, this is expressly forbidden in the Torah. The whole concept of subjugating, oppressing, expelling the Palestinian people, and every long list that never ends of crimes and the suffering that they're doing to the Palestinian people. This is criminal. It's against God. It's against Judaism. Our hearts throughout the world of the Jewish people are rent by what they are doing to the Palestinians. We pain and suffer, and we are humiliated by what the Zionists are doing. And we understand that they have an endless well of money in order to propagandize and to brainwash people to be fearful of the Muslims and be fearful of the Arabs, and to create a panic that people, that even Orthodox people, some of them and many of them unfortunately, believe that you cannot return land to the Arabs because they're going to kill every Jew. This is pure Zionist propaganda, as I've said, history attests to the contrary. We, even without that, they have come and fooled people into believing that this is Judaism. That is why they went to Palestine to create the state of not Uganda. At the beginning, these people who detested and abhorred godliness and religion said they want to go to Uganda, and they're changing because they knew that this way they can get the backing of the Jewish people from throughout the world, the ignorant masses, and get support from the evangelistic Christians. It has nothing to do with godliness. It has to do with one thing, a ploy, a con job, and that is what Zionism is. It's a con job, and that is what the state of Israel is, and that is why they can only brag, and their only power is in intimidation. And AIPAC, which AIPAC does, is that it puts the fear in every politician that they'll be committing political suicide if they stand up and show too much sympathy for Palestinians. They must express their loyalty to the state of Israel. That's why you will find every official who's running for office here, every presidential candidate, to every single, almost every official coming here, from the majority and the minority, from the Republicans and Democrats, because the example has been set from Congressman Finley to many others. Whoever stood up and spoke too sympathetically for Palestine or spoke up and understood the difference between Judaism and Zionism, they were immediately run out of office. We pray to God, and we fervently pray, and we ask every individual to pray for a speedy and peaceful dismantlement of this rebellion against God, of this criminal state, of the state that is flawed in its essence. We pray to God that the people, the Muslim and Arab people, should understand that the Jewish people around the world, there are many hundreds of thousands, especially from the Orthodox community, who know the Torah, who understand to differentiate between Judaism and Zionism. They understand that this is base politics and Zionism and the state of Israel, and not only doesn't it represent Jewish people, and not only is it not one, but that is on the contrary, it is the diametric opposite of Judaism, and that is the antithetical to Judaism, and whatever they're doing is only a cancer and bringing about suffering and animosity and hate for the Palestinians and the Jews alike. And they are the root cause of the endless river of bloodshed for not only 60 years of this declared state of Israel, but for over 100 years since they've gone off into Palestine and breached the walls of the Jewish community. Since they've declared themselves as the representatives of the Jews and started carrying out their evil plan. We plead with the Palestinians to understand that the Jewish people really, in essence, wouldn't do this, and they should understand that they're only because they've been ensnared in the trap of the Zionist state and the thinkers are deployed at the things that it's godliness and the fear factor, the fear mongering of the Jews are afraid of the Arab people. But in truth, the Jews around the world knew and do know that the Arab people have always stood by us and the Muslim people. And let them know, again, as I say, that there are still hundreds of thousands of religious Jews, besides the Jews who are human rights, the Jewish people who understand that this is godly rights of the Palestinian people, and that it's against the Torah. Not everybody is able to come up and stand up because the intimidation, the attacks of Zionism that is so strong physically and emotionally and in every other aspect, that they've attacked all our communities. When anybody stood up, they make them an example, as they did with Dar Yassin. The day they started with their setting up of the state, they knew right away how to use this insidious and these ploys of killing a few people in order to set an example for the masses. That's what they've done with the Jewish people. They killed Dr. Dahan in the 1920s, one of the most respected and well-known ambassadors and representatives, distinguished people of the Jewish people, because he stood up and started revealing to the world that Jews and Zionism are two diametric opposites. So let the world know that there's hundreds of thousands of people who feel your suffering, suffer with you, just they cannot speak. And we have tens of thousands, and sometimes even over 100,000, come down and demonstrate in Jerusalem, in New York. And invariably, when we go out and demonstrate, people lose their jobs afterwards because they study with a microscope, with a magnifying glass. The Jews who went to the demonstration, if they have any type of power over the bosses of these people, they get them fired. Therefore, let them know there's many Jews who are in opposition to Zionism, and we feel your suffering. We should all pray fervently to the one, because the ultimate control of the world to God, to bring about a speedy and peaceful dismantlement of the state. At the same time, we must do action. Get up, and I'm talking to my Jewish brethren, get up and speak, and don't be intimidated by the Zionists. Let us do get up more often and constantly educate the world that they should not support the state. They should look at the truth. Who is the power in the world? God. We must stand up for what is right and help that the Palestinian people be able to return to the sovereignty and rule over the entire Palestine quickly and speedily in our days. And ultimately, we pray for the day when all humanity will recognize the one God and can all in harmony go up and serve God in peace sooner than ever. Amen. And our site is, of course, www.nkusa.org. And we have links there, www.nkusa.org. And we have links there of a lot of documentation and pictures of tens of thousands of Jews demonstrating around the world, of Jews being beaten and oppressed by the Zionists because they stand up against them in Jerusalem, in Beth Shemesh, and so forth, in Bnei Brak. And also many other links and different things that you can see, the documentation of the rabbinical authorities from day one against Zionism, and our constant demonstrations and actions that we're taking against the state of Israel. Thank you.
Okay.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Rato.
Internet Radio for Smarter than Original.
तपाईलाई थाहा छ नेपालमा पहिलो पटक कहिले एचआईभी संक्रमित व्यक्ति फेला परेको थियो
थाहा छ सन् 1988
यतिका वर्ष बितिसक्दा एचआईभी एड्सको क्षेत्रमा के भए सकारात्मक परिवर्तनहरू कति आए कसले के गरे
के हामीले आफ्नो जिम्मेवारी बहन गर्यौं तपाईले गर्नुभयो
जवाफ आफैसँग खोजौं जिम्मेवारी बहन गर्यौं
सामाजिक रूपान्तरणका लागि गगन गृहको एउटा प्रयास
Nothing British is a campaign against racism and extremism. Add your voice by signing our petition at www.nothingbritish.com.
Hello, this is Susan Aglukak. The first week of December is Aboriginal AIDS Awareness Week. Learn the ways you can protect yourself and others from infection and spreading HIV. Together, we can make a difference.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. Thousands of sick and dying patients find marijuana effective as a medicine, including cancer, MS, and AIDS patients. 9 states have legalized its use. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
This is DJ Fusion of the Fusebox Radio Broadcast and BlackRadiosBack.com. You're now listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio, another slice of real black radio for the masses. All right? Peace.